Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 23, verses 1 through 3. That's the 23rd Psalm in the first three verses. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake."
Alcohol sales have skyrocketed these last couple of weeks. They've hit record highs. There's a lot of things that bring it about, the turmoil that we face in our nation. But regardless of how everything plays out in these next few weeks or even the next few months, our lasting peace or our greatest needs will never, ever be met by the government. The mitigation of this virus will not solve our problems. The opening words of this psalm, the 23rd Psalm, helps many to focus on the truths and brings peace to the soul. A minister in the 1800s by the name of Henry Ward Beecher, he wrote these words about this psalm. He said, "It has charmed more griefs to rest than all the philosophy of the world. It has remanded to their dungeon more felon thoughts, more black doubts, more thieving sorrows than there are sands on the seashore. It has comforted the noble host of the poor. It has sung courage to the army of the disappointed. It has poured balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, of captives, of dungeons, of widows in their pinching griefs, of orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died easier as it was read to them. Ghastly hospitals have been illuminated. It has visited the prisoner, it has broken his chains, and like Peter's angels, it led him forth in imagination and sung him back to his home again. It has made the dying Christian slave freer than his master and consoled those whom dying he left behind mourning, not so much that he was gone, but because they were left behind and could not go." This morning, I'd like to start a series of sermons that is centered on this psalm. Every Sunday morning, we will hit another portion. It is not intended to bring any new knowledge or fill any great revelation. But instead, what I would like us to do this morning and each morning thereafter to its conclusion of putting ourselves in David's shoes as he was writing these words and try for us to envision just what it was like for David seeing his own soul. We have no idea when David had written this psalm or these words. The context seems to indicate that there was some reflection on David's part of looking back over the past. If we assume that David had written these words when he was a king, it lends me to believe and the take from these words that he was still a man after God's own heart. His first words was Lord, Yahweh. Not an I, not anything that he has accomplished in his life. He starts off by recognizing someone greater than himself. And if you'll notice in your Bibles, the word the Lord, all the letters are capitalized, signifying God Almighty, Yahweh, God the Father. But David just doesn't acknowledge him as God that watches over him all the time. He is the creator of all things, the one and the only true God. He personally watched over David, and David is not afraid to be called a sheep. Now, there are those that will tell you that sheep are pretty dumb animals. I don't know if that's true or not, but sheep will keep eating until they fall off the cliff if the grass goes to the cliff. David was a shepherd as a boy, and he knew the responsibilities of being a good shepherd. He had told King Saul that in protecting and defending his sheep that he had killed a lion and a bear. And now David writes that God is shepherding over him. And that brings a peace that no one else could bring. This was how Jesus had seen himself. In John chapter 10, in verse 11, John records here that Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." In verses 14 and 15 of John 10, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And in verse 27 through 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. For I and the Father am one." Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Is it your congressman, or your senate, or your president? Or is it Christ and God? You see, like David, we can say that Jesus always shepherds us. I hope that's what we can say. Because of who he is, that we have everything we need. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In verse 2 of this psalm, David explains what God has done as the shepherd. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." I'm sure probably most of us in our lifetime in reading this psalm have actually pictured this in our minds. And this is a picture that I am sure was very real for David and the people of David's time, because they understood the value of sheep. And they also understood the need for good shepherds. But the reason that David didn't lack anything was because God provided for him. God took David to a place of abundance. The green pastures is the place where David could have all the food that he wants. And the quiet waters, they're not stagnant waters. They're continue to flow, but they're not stagnant. They're pure and fresh. And it allows him to freely drink. The idea here is that God wants him to see the abundant life that comes from being in the fold of God, not being off all alone. Now, there was another psalm that David wrote, and it has him telling people that God allowed the difficult times to come upon them. But David wanted them to know the result. It's Psalm 66. But here's what David writes in verses 8 through 12. He said, "Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. And yet you brought us out to a place of abundance." That entire psalm, from beginning to end, is a praise to God. It's not about the woe is me, God has let me have a terrible life. About looking where God has led them, even though they had fallen short and have sinned. Now, God allows our trials, or the trials of our sins, to lead us to Him. When it leads us to Him, God brings us into the land of abundance. Jesus had said what he has given us in John 10 and verse 10. He says that he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. This isn't a statement about wealth. It's not a statement about health. But life, eternal life. Even with all that is happening today, we can still have the joy that can only come from God. And that joy is much greater than what this world can provide at any given time or all at once. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, there's more to this opening. Verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." What is David really saying here? He's saying that God makes him like new. He restores him. Not just giving him a refreshment and reviving him when he's down a little bit, but giving him a new life, new strength, renewed vigor. The reason that this psalm is so enduring is that people have turned to it when they are at their weakest moments, or their most trying moments. It's when people have had nothing left. It's kind of like you're driving down the highway and it's a long stretch, and all of a sudden your gas gauge is sitting there almost on E, and that little ding on your instrument panel says 10 miles to empty. They know that God can restore that, can fill the tank. Listen to Isaiah chapter 40. Starting in verse 28 and reading through 31. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him that has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Do we not realize that in this life our strength is going to fail? Any of us that are over 60 will literally tell you we're not as strong as we were at 59. It seems to go that fast. It's going to happen because the body weakens. It's just the way it is. But when we put our trust in God, when we walk in the paths of righteousness, we will soar on wings of eagles. When we walk, we are not going to faint with exhaustion. Jesus in Matthew 11, 28, he said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." David says that not only does the Lord as the shepherd restore his soul, but he says he leads him down the right pathways, and he does so on account of his name. David's shepherd is God. The power of God was at work. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you've done, God still loves us. God still leads us. Being a child of God means that we are being shepherded by the Creator of the universe. We are also being led to a place of abundance, where we can find rest, where we can renew our strength. We have that renewal for the one that cares for our soul. This is a time when we're probably a little bit afraid, apprehensive about the future. What is happening to our country or to us as a people, and even to the church as we know it, and maybe even our own personal future. We just don't know what is around the corner. But this we must do, is simply breathe. Simply breathe. Step back. Absorb the message of this psalm and know that you are truly and fully loved by the shepherd. And regardless of what's around the corner, he will never desert us, ever. Who is your shepherd this day? If you don't know the shepherd and you desire to, we would like to help you in that. If it is a time where you would like to study with us to get to know the shepherd, to be able to understand the gospel message and to make that a part of your life, we want to give you the opportunity. You just need to let us know. Maybe you do understand. Maybe you're ready to obey that gospel this morning. We want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you just need our prayers. You're struggling with different things, or you're just worried about what the future is going to bring. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.